Ahí va.
We'll see if we get a few people to join up here.
Yeah, we got a couple. Don't need it.
Hey, if you're on the call, how about just saying your name and hello?
Hello, it's Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Hi, Leslie. Hey, Daryl. Shush, phone.
David, hello too.
Good evening. This is
Good evening.
Dan.
Hello, everybody. This is Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Good evening.
I'll wait a couple more minutes so we get started.
Down here in South Mississippi, and it is sweltering.
It's summertime.
What part of Mississippi are you in?
Biloxi.
Oh, me too. Well, I'm in Gulfport.
Okay, you're right across the bay from me. I am ready for fall.
Amen to that.
Think it was 95 degrees today.
It's a hot walk to the bus stop at 6:30 in the morning. I hate showing up to work looking like a sweaty mess, but I don't really have a choice, so.
The same thing. I jumped on the train this morning to go to Pascagoula to teach someone how to use their iPhone, and
Oh, nice.
the train was late, so I was sitting out there on the platform for an extra 45 minutes.
Did you have to wait and take the train back?
No, actually, they dropped me off in Goche and I took an Uber back from there.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
Well, everybody, I think this is Daryl. I think we're going to go ahead and get started. So I welcome everybody to the call. And this is basically an open chat call, so it's not going to be really structured or anything. But there was some traffic out on the list about AI, which I don't do it a lot. And before we ever get started, I do want to make one thing clear. This is not a discussion of whether you like it or hate it or anything else, because we all have opinions about that. It's just the fact that how we can use it. And there was a couple of things that I did that was interesting. One, I put on the list because I was had this wild hair to make a little old-timey coffin box, just a whatnot box, so decorative box. And I could kind of remember how it looked back in the old Dracula movie days, but I couldn't really had a friend actually take a piece of paper and cut it out. But then all the angles, because it's if you don't know what one looks like, it has it narrows right at the head of your body and then it widens at your shoulders and it comes back down and narrows at your feet. So it's basically a six-sided triangle or angle, but it has three different miters on all six different corners. So it was a challenge to figure that out, but I just told AI that I wanted to make this thing and I wanted to make it 8 inches long, and it pretty much just did it and gave me a cut list and the whole bit. I really didn't even have to ask it much after that. I did follow up a little bit and ask it to enlarge one to make it a 10 inch. So I made another one that was a 10 inch long box, but I didn't like it as much as I liked the smaller one. So I went back to the 8 inch, but it was very simple. And I used the, I tried doing it on my miter saw, but the table saw works much better for this for me when you're dealing with these little bitty pieces. And so I just used my Wixie angle cube and set the bevel on the miter saw, and they all the whole box just came out perfectly. It just went together perfect. So that was pretty cool, actually. And then another thing I did this a couple of months ago, and I don't actually have a result for this, but I do know that it worked. And that I ask AI, now, I just happen to use Claude, but it don't really matter by Anthropic, but it don't really matter. I don't think which one you use. I just know it from doing some coding. But I ask it to create a 3D printer object. And it's a very simple thing. I just want a rod that's about 2 inches tall, exactly a half inch in diameter, and I just wanted the first inch to be cut in half so it have a flat side. And you can buy this little guy out on a website for about $15. But my son has a 3D printer, so I figured he would just maybe he could just print it for me. And you know, it did all that. It didn't exactly, I can't get it printed because my son has a problem with his printer right now. He's waiting for a part, but he loaded it in there and it saw it and didn't complain about it. So, but it, what it does is it generates the G code, and G code is basically the code that comes from CAD, and it's what all the drawing, computerized drawings are. Most of the time, they use G code as the language or the file type. You can't look at that code; it's machine code, but it generated it. And it generated so when Matt loaded it in, he actually saw it. He said he didn't think it was exactly what I meant, but it did load it. And I thought you could probably do the same thing because 3D printing, we're just adding material. But CNC, you're just taking away material, but the exact process is the same. So the only thing I didn't think of, and I don't have a CNC or a 3D printer, so I can't really try this stuff out. And I don't really want to either, but it does lend possibilities because you could just type out the type of thing you want. And if you keep, you may have to talk to it, chat with it for a little bit till you get it the way you want it to be, but or so it understands you. But then if you tell it, you know, you want us to generate the G code, it just creates a file that gets saved out to your computer that somebody just uploads. The thing with CNC, and I was talking to Dennis about this, is even if it did that, you still have this problem. I don't know that you have this problem with the printer, but you have this with the CNC that you have to tell it where the material is and where to start and where to stop. The parameters of the board or whatever it is. And that you probably have to go into the software. I don't know if that software is accessible. So it's part of it is just getting the actual file, the thing that you want it to do. But then step two, and maybe it's the same for a printer because I don't know for sure, that you have to give it all the coordinates of where this piece is, how big it is, what size wood you're working, you know, thickness, all this good stuff. And now it could be that you could tell AI all that and it would generate the whole thing. I really don't know. But I do know that it did work for the basic object. I only spent about 10 minutes on this, by the way. I did not spend any kind of hours, and I don't know AI from anything, really. I just ask the dumb thing questions sometimes, and that's you get these things. And but it was interesting to me because we've been talking about verbally describing pictures to do this years ago. I think it's Claude or somebody in Canada has a CNC router, and he taught talked about doing that. You know, they were working towards that, to where you did, instead of drawing it out, you know, with the stylus or whatever, you just telling, you just describing it verbally. And so I think we're getting closer and closer to that, which is, it's kind of a cool thing. So that lends possibilities for that. But you know, I wouldn't be afraid to use it if you were working on some crazy, if you just wanted a damn octagon or something, but you know, you tell it exactly what size, it'll tell you exactly where to start your cuts and where to, you know, measure the corners and everything, which is always kind of a challenge. I mean, you could draw one out, or and here, get on math challenge, so don't, I can't vouch for any of that, but you know, where to actually start your cut and how long each piece's size is going to be can be a challenge. And so when I did this box, it didn't just tell me the miter, but it told me the exact distance from long point to long point and sharp point to sharp point too, but I used the long side. So you know exactly how long to cut the pieces and what angle to put on each end, so that when you put this all together, and I just used packing tape or masking tape to fold it all up together to get it to glue up, because it's a weird, you know, can't really clamp it because it's a weird shape. But he even told me how to do that, so, which I already knew, but it was interesting because it added all this stuff. Now the challenge I had with these boxes, it's not the top one's so bad, because I just kind of double-sided taped a piece of plywood, a little piece of plywood on it, and use a flush trim bit to go around it to get the pattern for the top. That was pretty easy. It's the bottom actually has to go inside, and that was a little harder, but I figured it out, this monkey around with this. I made like about six of these little guys just for the heck of it. There's a place down here, I think a little store in town, she buys some of my stuff sometimes, and I thought with Halloween coming up it might be kind of cute. So, but I don't care about making money. It's just a hobby. I just need someplace to go with this stuff, because you know, my kids and friends and family are about to get a little burnt out on gifts. So, but that's all I really had as far as what I've done and what I've tried. I don't, here again, other people out there probably know a whole lot more about AI than I do, and so on. So anybody wants to open that up to talk about it or ask questions, if I, you know, somebody I'm sure could answer them, maybe even me.
You know, Daryl, this is Bob. I don't know anything about this coding. I just listened to a bunch of different podcasts, and Claude may be able to write the program to make that CNC software accessible, because I hear about all these inaccessible programs that people have now run through Claude and have made them accessible. So I don't know how you do that, but there's a lot of information out there about that.
I'll say that's all actually pretty interesting and exciting. I tell you, AI, because I do coding, like I do our website, coding is just kind of a little hobby for me. Yeah, I don't do anything serious though. I'm way behind on everything, and but that would be very interesting. The reason I use Claude, it's pretty accessible for me. I don't have any trouble using it, but it, and I think they all might have this, but it has different frameworks, I guess you would say. So if you wanted to do coding, you would choose that from the menu, and then it writes in code. That's how I use that to generate the CNC or the 3D printer object, because it created a, it knew to create it in G code format. But actually making the software you use accessible, that's, I have no clue how you would do it, but it sounds pretty cool though.
Daryl, maybe you've said it and I missed it, but what platform did you use?
It's Claude by Anthropic.
Okay.
But here again, I've used Copilot, because I use
Microsoft.
yeah, VS Code on my a lot of times when I'm writing code, and it, Copilot's kind of built into that though. I don't really, I just find that a little bit not as friendly as and just going out the clock and actually just telling it, and it generates it, and I just paste it back in. I actually find that for me easier, but that's just because I haven't practiced with the stuff. It's just a pretty amazing technology that's there. It's not going anywhere, but there's just a lot of different ways you could use it, especially for creating plans, because we talked about that. And there was a guy who put a really nice post out of this. A dumb thing just would not, I could never get it to show up. So I asked him to repost it. He's a new member, but he never did. So I'm not sure what was wrong with that or why it wouldn't go out, but he kind of explained a little bit better as to sometimes with AI, you just kind of have to keep giving it follow-up questions, or it may ask you a follow-up question. But it all with Claude, it just kind of all comes out in a big long line, which you could copy paste whatever you want to do with it after that, or just save it that way. But it's pretty accessible for me. I just haven't tried all the other ones. I don't use AI for searching or anything like that yet. I just, like I said, I mostly just got it, played around with it because I do some coding. Has anyone on this call actually used it to make a drawing or anything yet?
I used Gemini to do a similar thing to what you were talking about, but on a much larger scale. I have a little old Chihuahua that can't get up on the bed anymore, and so I wanted to build a dog ramp for him to get up on the bed. And I first asked it, what is the slope that an old rickety old dog can do, and a lot of dialogue back and forth about that. But then ultimately, we came up with a plan again, like you say, talking to it back and forth, and it ended up needing to be like a, I call it like a switchback ramp. Otherwise, the ramp would have been so long sticking out into the bedroom would have been impractical. But it goes up like 14 inches, and then there's a little platform, and it comes around the platform, and then it raises up another 14 inches to a platform that then just comes onto the bed, and it did what you said. It calculated all the angles, told me, what to set my saw for. It gave me the shopping list to go to the hardware store to pick up everything. Now, I did this months ago, and I know this AI stuff is getting better every single day, but it made errors in some of its math. And, I would have to ask it, wait a minute, those numbers don't add up to the total you just gave me. And it goes, oh, you're right. I'm so sorry. I made a mistake. And then it went back and recalculated this stuff. But I'm sure today, if I did it, it would be much more accurate than it was a couple months ago. But it was a fun project. And the nice thing about it is it did the cut sheet, like you're saying. So I needed 3 sheets of plywood. And it told me, you can get part A and B and, D out of this sheet of plywood. And then, take sheet number two and cut these pieces out of it. And so it really minimized the amount of waste material that, and I didn't have to use any brain power to try to figure that out myself. So,
Well, it's nice because it's impossible for me to draw anything. I basically have always, if I'm making something complicated, I just write it out on the computer first anyway, and I just save it as a text file so I can go back and I kind of figure all the list out myself. All this did was simplify all that, plus the fact that I don't know geometry, so I couldn't have done it anyway. In fact, I was absolutely sure it was wrong on one of the angles that I argue with it. It just showed me why I was wrong. And of course it was right. It's just a tool, if you just look at it as a tool. And but it is kind of amazing what it can do, like your cut list or your shopping list. It basically did that same thing for me. Just I was working on such a small scale, it didn't matter. But, it did give me all the pieces. It told me which best way to cut the pieces so that, didn't have to make as many miter cuts. So it's used that whole thought process to do it. And so if there was anything somebody, if you wanted to make a cabinet or something like that, this thing would absolutely, if you gave it the dimensions, and like I said, you might have to go back and forth until you and the computer decide. I actually refuse to use this thing as a person. So it always wants to be my friend, like this thing sitting over on the table, but she's not going to be my friend. Okay, we're not going to have that kind of relationship. But you can go back and forth with it, and just keep giving it follow-up responses. It really doesn't take that long. It's not as hard as you might think it is to use it, because these tools are just part of, you don't even have to install an app if you don't want to. These things are just out there on the as web pages anyway. And like I said, I mean, Google has theirs. It's right there on the Google search page. Microsoft has what they call Copilot, and there's ChatGPT, I guess, was the first one really, but I don't particularly like that one. It's too chatty, and I don't like the layout that it gives me. So Claude, just because I got it, used it for coding most in the beginning, 6 or 7 months ago, I used it for coding, and I just liked it. That's what I use, but I don't think that really matters, the platform
My,
that you use.
this is Leslie. My only experience with this is ChatGPT, and I had a veteran a year or so ago who asked me to he wanted to build a nesting box for ducks. And so we did some searching on the internet looking for plans. And the plans we found were difficult to understand with a screen reader. So I went in and imported these plans into ChatGPT and said, "Hey, can you make me step-by-step instructions with these plans, and take into consideration that, I'm doing this without vision." And it made the plans, and the step-by-step instructions were much easier to understand. All of the math was wrong. So I
Yeah.
ended up having to go in and, recalculate all the math and work all that out. But it did help in terms of interpreting this set of plans that we found online and giving breaking it down into a easier to follow guide.
Well, see, and I think that's actually, I never thought about that, but that's actually really cool, because you can find those things out on the internet, and but they're not in word form. They're in
Right.
drawing form, but that it could do the exact opposite. It could take a drawing and make it into verbiage versus, taking what we ask it to do and making a plan. So there's a lot of like I said, a lot of possibilities. I have used it to describe, and not this wasn't even this was a special little program for the blind. I can't think of what name it made me mad, but it used to be great. I would go out. I like to go out to Marketplace, which is a Facebook shopping thing, for people to list their own stuff if you don't know what it is. And there's always these pictures, but I could click on this picture and then ask this program, and it would just tell me exactly what was in that picture. And if I needed more detail, I could tell it to zoom in, even just verbally tell it to look at this one particular area. It would. Problem with that is I don't know what they did to that program, but it broke, because I can't just use it. Before, I could just use it as while I was even in Facebook marketing and just do it. And now that doesn't work. And like I said, that software, if you went out to the Apple Vis website, you'll find it. I can't remember the name of it, but then that's just all AI, So, but that was actually very helpful for me. It really described what I make sure I what I thought I was looking at was what I wanted, including telling me that there was rust in certain areas. It could give you a lot of detail. But I guess that might be one of its better things, is taking pictures and analyzing them for you.
Well, and I suppose this is AI. I don't know what else it would be. But I used my Meta glasses on this project I'm talking about, and I painted the plywood. I primed it first, and I asked my glasses, asked Meta, is the board completely covered with paint, or are there any spots I need to touch up? And it told me exactly where there were bare spots. And I went over with my hand and touched it. Yep, there's no paint there. And, I then was able to put paint down. So that's something I wasn't able to do before. So that's a nice benefit of AI in our glasses, I guess.
Yeah, that is AI by Meta, and I've actually used Beat My Eyes with a live person at the other end to do that same thing before when I was staining a large project, and I told them I'm out in my shop, and I think the people thought I might have been a little crazy, but they always could help me and tell me if there was some place I missed or how it was looking, as I was, especially with code, coloring is difficult. You can't see what you're doing. That would be painting, staining, whatever, because you always, if you miss a spot doing clears, you can go back and, it's not so noticeable. But that's actually pretty cool. And I have a love-hate relationship with my Meta glasses right now. So I'm actually
Hey guys,
getting
this
ready to buy a set of Echo Vision glasses, which I think are going to be a lot better.
is Tom Neal. I'm the guy that made the Measure Better app and some other stuff. I missed the beginning of the call, but I wanted to chime in and just say that the Be My Eyes is also very helpful if you're doing electrical wiring. I try to use apps and testers and such to get me in the right direction, and then I'll use Be My Eyes just to verify that I have the right wire colors under the wire nut or in the group or whatever, so I'm comfortable because I have two verifications when I'm doing lights and switches. And I know this group is dedicated to more woodworking, but just figured I'd throw that out there.
No, but those Be My Eyes is just a really, really cool thing, and their AI is pretty good too these days, because they, if you don't, sometimes you don't have to use a person, you could just use their AI part of their app. I mean, everybody's trying to figure out a way to use this and make money at it right now, and but Be My Eyes is, if you don't know what that is, if you just have a phone, then you can get a live person at the end on a video call, that they'll, they're there to, they're volunteers there to help you.
I
You're right,
use
though. Their
that a
AI is
lot.
good. If you, I'm sorry, I was just going to throw out an example of how I use the AI.
Oh, good.
I'll take like a screwdriver and I'll put it on a wire, and then I'll ask the AI what color is the wire my screwdriver's touching. And that way, I'm not asking if it's white or black and giving it the opportunity to lie, because typically, if you're messing with electricity, you kind of know if it's a switch. It could be red. If you're messing with an outlet, it's either black or white. So when I say, what color is my screwdriver touching? If it says something crazy like, yellow, well, wrong answer. But if it, so it's kind of a good double check on it too.
Yeah, it is very good at that kind of stuff. I use
Yes.
AI, Be My Eyes AI a lot.
I do too. We have a lot of things labeled in my classroom. So all the veterans' bins are labeled with their names. We have a cabinet full of stains, and each shelf has a label in front of the can to say what it is. And I'll either use my Meta glasses or be my AI to point at that label and say, okay, which one am I looking at? So that it's easier for me to find stuff. And I encourage my veterans to use it a lot too in their projects. So we use that to work on advocacy for saying, if you call a volunteer, you can't just say, how does this look? Because they don't know what they're looking at. They don't know what it's supposed to look like. So we use that to learn to teach them how to, ask specific leading questions to get the information they want about whether they missed a spot or where that is. And be able to use that to work on their projects at home.
Another cool tool that can do things like read displays for you and help you set. I have some slot machines, and I was working on programming, and I didn't have anybody around to help me read the displays. So I used Google Gemini, and there's a live video mode you can do. And then I would just hold the phone up and say, "What does this display say?" And it would read it to me in real time, and that's very useful as well.
Yeah, there is just a lot of applications. But like I said, video and pictures is kind of one of its better things, really. And but if you use, like I said, Seeing AI, their AI is actually very good because it's, which there again is focused on for people who can't, for us, you know. So you get better responses, and if you ever want to look at QR codes that your TV threw up there because, you know, you're trying to set up a new streaming service, you know what? Seeing AI could do that really well.
Can
Read
I
that
throw out
stupid
another tip
QR
too
code.
for iPhone users?
Sure.
If you're an iPhone user and you need to scan a QR code, just hold down your side button and tell Siri to open QR. I think it's, you can just tell it scan QR code and it opens what I believe is called QR Reader. It opens your camera and it looks specifically for the QR code, so you don't need to get it lined up perfectly and it'll just take you right to whatever it is. Obviously, you need to be careful scanning codes outside of your home that you don't trust, but for the situation you mentioned, that's exactly how I do it. I just say open a QR scanner or scan QR code, and it just grabs it.
Yeah, I think I haven't actually used them, but I like AI because, okay, scanning the code and telling me what it is, that's all well and good, but it usually has an address or a whole bunch of numbers I'm supposed to type in, and I have to be able to go back and save it and then enter it somewhere on my computer or whatever you're supposed to enter, wherever you're supposed to enter it. So scanning is part one, but coming back and reading it is many times over. Because I can't remember nothing anymore. It's very
Well,
helpful.
what's kind of nice, if you're logged in to the service on your phone and you scan the code, it automatically enters all those numbers for you, so you don't have to remember any of that, because I'm bad at that too.
Yep, I've used that before too.
Hey, while you're on the phone, sir, have you put your Caliper app? Is it up and live out on there now?
You know, I got it done, and I submitted it with the screen, with the video and all that. And then I also run a vending company, and I got really busy. I'm on a college campus, and school just started up for me last week, and I've been preparing for that, and I haven't followed up with it. And I know some of you guys are waiting on it, and I feel bad. I will definitely work on getting that done, and I've got a few others I need to submit too. But they make it such a pain. Like, you have to create a website and you have to write a privacy policy for every app, and it has to have its own page. You have to do three screenshots, and for things like what we're doing with VoiceOver and that, sometimes you actually have to record a video demonstrating the thing, and you have to prove to them that it actually does connect to a device and perform a function. And sometimes jump through those hoops. Once I've accomplished a goal, the hoops get a little bit overwhelming, and it's like, I'll come back to this, and then life happens, and you know how that goes. But you guys have been great with your suggestions, and I appreciate those of you who did buy my Measure Better app. And I can't wait till you guys get to play with this app and some of the others I've made too.
Well,
But
that Caliper
I
app is just
apologize,
a,
man.
that's what you actually started on the website with, and that's the one I, and if by the way, if, by the way, if Test Flight still works with that, that's fine. But that's
I
usually
could
by
throw it up there if
Caliper's.
you guys want it, Test Flight.
What's that?
If you want it, if you don't mind installing the Test Flight version and having limited access to it, I'll get it up there tomorrow.
Well, I have Test Flight. I've been using it. It's just Test Flight's been bugging me lately because I don't think it's active anymore.
I had to switch developer accounts. That was my personal account, and then I started an actual software company, and I had to switch developer accounts to that one. And then once I did that, everybody's the betas that you were running before are no longer active. But I can throw it up there tomorrow and give everybody access to it, just because it's a lot easier to put up a beta than it is to put something in the store for sale.
Oh yeah, right. I've actually done betas too. So yeah, that's great because I really like that app because I have my other stuff, but that works better and simpler than anything. All I wanted to do is just tell me what the darn number is.
Gotcha.
I don't care.
I've actually made it much cooler than the first version you played with. The newest version is much better. It tells you when your calc was connected. It you can share your results, you can save your results. It's a lot more advanced than what the first generation was.
Well, that's great. But like I said, the main thing is it's just so nice for just tell me what my number is,
I
But
hear you. That was my
I've
biggest
got
complaint
going
when
through a
I
lot
bought
of
those
hoops.
tools.
I'm
When
sorry.
I bought those tools, I was like, this thing is incredible. And I've always wanted a caliper that I could use and I could take advantage of the accuracy. But it was always very clunky to use either a notes app or the calculator or messages text field. And it made me not want to use the tools. So now that I've developed the app, I find that I use it in a lot more situations where I otherwise wouldn't have.
Well, yeah, because I have calipers where I've hooked it up to my Raspberry Pi, and that all works great. But I gotta go over to the drawer and drag all this stuff out. And it's just much easier to turn the thing on like a normal person and just use it, And me and the
It
calculator app have never gotten along, or the notes app for that matter. I just, like I said, if something is more aggravating, then I'm probably not going to use it because. I don't know. I just have a limited number of patients anymore. Maybe I never did have it yet.
That's where I'm at too. That's why I started looking at, I was like, there are so many apps that frustrate me. There's got to be a better way to do this.
There's
And
just too
I
many
work
things
on
out.
cars. I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's just too many things out there, even for us, that sort of work. But they never seem to get where they actually work. Perfectly the way they should. I see this all in it. Not so much when it's if something's written for us specifically, it's most of the time it does work. But a lot of things they say, well, it's accessible. But yeah, it sort of works. But it's also you could lose an hour monkeying with it to figure it out first, what all of its little quirks are.
See, my frustrations are like when Marlon P. Jones and Associates went out of business. Those talking multimeters were incredible,
Yes, they were.
but they weren't perfect. The one thing that frustrated me about those is it didn't always announce the measurement when it changed. And it was so I started developing an app that works with Bluetooth meters that are much more accurate. They actually have some logging features. I made an accessible oscilloscope. And that's the kind of stuff, like you just said a minute ago, some stuff that they say is accessible, it'll get you on the street, but it doesn't get you in the door. And
Right.
that's what frustrates me because I'm actually trying to use the stuff.
Exactly. It's very frustrating because it's like, man, it sort of works, but I don't like sort of works. The thing that needs to work or needs to go away.
I'm with you.
Well, I can say your measure app is going to end up costing me, I don't know, $1,500 to $2,000 because I jumped the gun. I was so excited with your conversations. I bought the tape measure, then I went to go get your app, and it says, your phone isn't compatible with this app. And so it's forcing me to buy a new iPhone, which is way past due, being a new iPhone. So
What phone do you have?
an eight.
I was going to say, if it doesn't work, it must be pretty ancient.
Yeah, you need to have iOS 18 or higher for your measure app to
Yeah,
work.
Bob, babe, Bob, you might want to come into the 21st century with the rest of
Well,
us. You know what I mean?
my thought has always been, as long as I can do everything I want to do on the phone, why buy a brand new phone every year?
Well,
Well, now I
not
have a
every.
reason I want to do something on my phone that I can't do, so I'm going to go get a new phone when
Bob,
the
we're way
18 comes
past
out.
every year here, okay?
Okay.
I mean,
You'll if you do
technology
it, is
does
you'll
have a
find that
lifespan.
there's some cool features coming to that app too. Like when you take a measurement, you're going to be able to tell it to name that measurement without having to fumble with the app. You're going to be able to ask your phone what the last measurement was you took. iOS 27 is going to be able to give us some pretty cool accessibility improvements for that kind of stuff.
Be fun.
That the Rycon Bluetooth 8?
Yeah. I'm building a bathroom in my basement, and just to let you guys know that, like, when I say I use the tools, I'm building a bathroom in the basement, and I have a couple click rules. I still have a tape king, but the only tool I'm using is that tape measure, and it's working great for me. There are a few things I want to do. Like I always double check my measurements, and I want to make sure that I heard it correctly. And I did notice that, like, if you're trying to measure something 90 and 5/8, if you pull out your tape measure to 90 and 5/8, it announces it once. But then if you retract it a little bit and pull it right back to it, it doesn't repeat itself. So I'm going to make an adjustment for that because I always like to confirm before I cut. But other than that, I found it to be pretty effective. So if you guys are on the fence, so forget my app. I don't make that much off of it. But if you guys are looking for a tool that will actually work to let you complete a project, that tool has been amazing for me.
Well, that's what we want to do. I mean, it's just like I said, it's woodworking is great and all this stuff, and some of these tools are sometimes they're very helpful if but they have to work. You know, they just and like
You
I
know, I
said,
just learned about
I don't
something.
have your tape the tape measure tape because honestly I have three Kobolts and one Tape King and two click rules and a Rotomatic and I don't want another tape measure right now, but my caliper, that guy I go through a lot for certain things and
Mine for stuff like drain pipe and bolts, and I mean, if you're messing with I had a shelf that had some furniture grade half inch black pipe, but it wasn't not exactly half inch because it was furniture grade instead of gas. And I use that caliper for so many things I didn't even think I'd use it for. So I understand, and I will get a beta up tomorrow, and I'll put the link in the group so everybody can play with it.
Well, like I said,
Another one I was going to throw up. I'm sorry, go ahead.
no, go ahead.
I was just going to say another thing I wanted to let the group know about because I just learned about it a half hour ago, is there's a tool called the drywall ripper, and it's a razor blade that it runs against the edge of the drywall, and you can cut strips up to 5 inches wide from end to end of the drywall. And I didn't even know such a thing existed. I've always used a straight edge with a couple clamps and a razor blade. And so I just found out about it this evening and just ordered one on Amazon. So I'm excited to get that because, when you're doing a project over I'm using 10-foot sheets of drywall. And if you get off a little bit by the end of that cut, you got a heck of a gap you got to fill. So I just wanted to share that with the group because I didn't even know it existed till tonight.
That's half the issue. If we only knew the tools that were out there that could make our lives so much simpler, but we don't know that they exist until you run across, somebody runs across one and shares it with us. So thank you for that.
Exactly. It's the kind of stuff that our community, each blind person, and that's why when I first found, I think I've been a member of the website for, or a member of the group for about 10 years, but when I first found it, I was like, finally, I can learn from other people instead of having to figure things out for myself. And that's the community part of it is what I love.
Yeah, we don't always have to make a new mousetrap when something else already, somebody already knows one that works, you know?
I also learned today that there is a, if you, I don't know how many of you guys actually do drywall. I know it's more focused on carpentry, but I also learned that there is a specific drywall router for cutting around outlet boxes.
Oh,
I've always
yeah.
done it with a razor blade, and sometimes I use a jab saw, but I didn't know they actually had a router made for it.
Well, there for a long time, I know guys just use a little trim router and a flush trim bit that had the bearing at the end. They just poked it through the drywall But there probably is a special one, but I tell you the truth, if I never hang another piece of drywall in my life, it won't bother me a bit.
I'm with you on that.
But I
Project
have I
even
have
dumb.
done it, and I know all about like all that stuff that makes life easier. I know these guys, they don't, oh, for years now, they don't go out, they don't mark an outlet or anything. They just, I mean, they don't draw it or cut around it. They just stick the thing up there and they know mark where it is,
Yeah.
and they just go around it and they're done, you know.
Another thing that I'm not sure if the group is aware of, but do you guys, any of you, use Audible Stud Finders? Because Amazon has a pretty good Audible Stud Finder for like $25 that it'll get you dead on. It's very, very accurate. It works on metal and wood studs.
What brand is that?
I'll put a link in the group. I don't actually remember what brand it is, but it's got a tone and it starts beeping, kind of like the smart levels do. It starts beeping as you get closer to the center, and then once you're dead on the center, it gives you a solid tone. And there's a little notch up at the top that you can either put your nail in or you can make a mark or something to identify the center.
Yeah, they're just called stud finders. You could probably find them in Lowe's, I think. They're
Just
very
do a,
yes.
you got to do a search for Audible Stud Finder, and but there's one in particular. I bought two of them because I like it so much. If one breaks, I want to have one for backup.
Yeah, I would definitely be interested in that stud finder because I have all the ones I've looked at were pretty expensive, and that's kept me from getting one.
You know something that
You're going like
George taught me a long
$25.
time ago? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's
Something that
okay. Go
George
ahead.
taught me a while ago was rare earth magnets. So they're like, the size of a quarter. And you just
Yes.
rub that along the wall, and all of a sudden it gets yanked out of your hand as it comes across the screw. And I was like, okay, that's where they are.
Yeah.
And that does work.
There's a lot of we should start like a tips and tricks section because like my wife is always having me hang pictures and I don't know why, but I never have luck to get the picture with a single hanger. It's always a hanger on each side. And yeah, that's fine to level, but if you're trying to level it and make sure that you got your spacing right, sometimes that can be a little bit of a chore. Well, recently I started using my click rule, the rods for the click rule. And I hold it up to the back of the picture and I put a zip tie on it and I tighten the zip tie and then snip off the end. And then I know that the one end of the rod is supposed to be on the center of the one hook and then the zip tie marks the center of the second hook. And then I can just put my little magnetic angle finder on the click rule piece, put it up on the wall, and there you go. It's just little things like that instead of us trying to everybody figure out a solution. It'd be great if we could start like a tips and tricks section to, and I like I said, I know it's to woodworking and custom projects, but there is a lot of daily life stuff too that we
You
sure we all overcome
will
in one way or another.
find a handy recording that we did about a year and a half ago. Is it's on jigs and fixtures, but Andrew did a really good job, and we just discussed it. But those are also tips and tricks. You know, jigs and fixtures are also could go under the heading of tips and tricks because there's a lot of stuff like you were just describing that you could call that a jig or a fixture, or, but it doesn't have to be a permanent thing.
I listened to that. That was well done.
You know, there is a thing with another thing. Maybe Leslie can figure this out because she works for the VA and they got all this money and tools and everything. But I was thinking a guy could actually make some pretty nice little jigs and fixtures with a 3D printer if we get AI to understand what we're telling it to do.
I have been after the VA to get us a 3D printer for years.
I won't get you one. Cheap
No.
skates. I'm
Instantly,
kidding.
we had a CNC router in the box for 2 years before they even came and hooked it up.
Well. You should
I
have just went and opened the box and hooked it up.
Yeah, I've been
That
lobbying for a 3D printer for a while, and we actually did. look into them for a minute. We did some research on trying to find ones that were most accessible for people with visual impairments, and that's about as far as that went.
Yeah, I don't
Research
know.
was
I
started.
consider at this whole, like I said, when the AI thing, and Bob gave us a good hint earlier about making things accessible. I mean, like I said, I think with the printer it would be easier because I'm not so sure you have to locate anything like you do with a CNC machine where you actually have to tell it where everything is.
Right. Because I would love to be able to use AI to make CNC files.
It does locate itself. The printer does home. It has its known reference points, and then it can build the 3D map from there.
Yeah,
But
because
there's some pretty cool
it's actually
technology.
building something. It's not taking away anything, you know. So
Right.
it knows where to start. Where the CNC kind of needs to know where to start. But like I said, there's some guys I follow on YouTube, and one of them is a machine shop because I'm into cars, and I don't know how to do it, but I like to listen to these guys, and he's always making these little quickie things to help him with his tools set up on his machines. And that's kind of what this thing I wanted my son to print off. It's just a way to find exactly where the center of my router bit is in relation to the fence. You know, it's I never had a good way to perfectly figure out exactly where center of the bit is in relation to either a stop or the fence. And that little thing you stick in the collet with its one flat side to it makes all that real easy. And by the way, you can't go buy those, and but I thought it'd be cool just to print one.
Another thing that's pretty cool is there's some technology now that can use the iPhone camera and the LiDAR stuff built into the iPhone to 3D map something, and then you can take that file and put it into a 3D printer to copy it. And I think that shows some real cool promise for, I mean, when we're doing a project and we need to scale something up or scale something down, or you have something that breaks and you can't run out to the store and get a replacement, it'll be awesome to just make one. So the
That's
future
interesting.
is
Yeah, all
haven't heard
kinds of
about that.
possibilities here, you know.
I've sent some things into a service to have it 3D printed too, so that's another possibility. So I one of the parts of the process I thankfully have is I have one of those tachographics printers. So I actually use that to check the drawing prior to sending it in or doing something like that. But I've actually had it, I've printed a couple things in aluminum and so forth too. So most recently I had one of those old-fashioned hand crank drills, you know, the egg beater style, and I broke the frame and I built a replacement frame with more structure to it so it wouldn't break again. And it actually fit when I got it back from the 3D printer place.
Nice.
That's pretty
Yeah.
cool.
There's some software called OpenSCAD that people use for 3D printing, but you know, it requires a little bit of knowledge of coding, which I just cannot wrap my head around.
That's what I used. And I actually, that was one of the things I was thinking with Claude earlier tonight, is I bet Claude could write the code and save me a whole bunch of screwed up printouts.
Yeah, possibly. I know some. I have a friend who works for the New York Talking Books Library, and she's done a lot of experimenting with the 3D printers. And I think the last Facebook post I saw from her on that was that, you know, it's doable, but you really got to do a lot of prompting and, you know, fixing and tweaking, and so it's still a huge process.
Yeah, but the more we do it, the better it will get, which is
Amen.
the whole point of it, right? That's the one really good thing, I guess, about AI. It does tend to get better as we use it,
Yeah.
and
And
but
it's
it is
happening
better. It is
quickly.
better at math than it used to be. And Which is funny because you would think a computer would be really good at math now, wouldn't you? That's what I've always used
Well,
it for, but
it's like what I tell people about the Meta glasses, how that one of the things you think they should be very able to do is identify money, and they're terrible at
they're
it.
terrible at it. Yeah,
If
terrible at
you
it.
hold a $5 bill upside down, it's going to tell you it's a $9 bill. Even if it next tells you that there's no such thing as a $9 bill, it's going to identify it that way anyway. It's really bad.
Yeah, that's all part of my love-hate relationship I have with those glasses. So,
I agree. I do too. Matter of fact, I've got two pair and I'm considering selling one of them, so because I just don't use them that much.
well, I tell you something. Every time I don't trust Zuckerberg anyway, but ever since they came out with the new version of the glasses, my battery life on my old glasses don't seem to be nearly as much anymore. Yeah, makes me wonder.
There are several aftermarket batteries that can get you 8 hours life out of those Meta
Oh,
number ones.
How? How would you do that?
So it has a little piece that clicks into the bridge, into the like the nose piece. It has these pins that go up into where the
Case would be, yeah.
case would be, and then there's a wire that comes around to the side piece, your earpiece like, and it snaps on there real nice and tight, and then it has the sort of the receiving part of the charger there, and then you have a it comes with a little case like your Apple AirPods do, and so you open it up and there's two separate chargers in there that are magnetic, and once you charge the case, you pull one of those out and you snap it on to that earpiece, and it's tight. It's not going to fall off of there, and you can just keep on going. And then when that one dies, take that out and put it back in the case, and take the other one out and snap it on, and keep on going, and plug in your case and.
Well, pardon my ignorance, but if I'm wearing these, it doesn't sound like it's too comfortable for my nose.
It actually is comfortable. It's not bad. It raises them up just a tiny bit, so you do notice that, but it doesn't feel bad. A good place to look at that is on The Blind Life with Sam Seavey. He did a review of the battery on there, and
Okay.
that's good.
Because I knew there was some aftermarket chargers and ways you could wire an external battery into it, but I didn't know it was that small and portable.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
don't you find it interesting? I used to get a good 6 hours out of my glasses if I were just because I mostly use them as good headphones.
right.
And but if I'm using my phone, like if I'm playing a game or something, other people around, I used to get a good 6 hours out of that. I tell you that just recently, that battery life, I'm lucky if I get three.
Wow, I haven't
And
tried them. Let's see, when was the last time I used mine? I guess about a month or so ago, and I got, I think, 4, 4.5 hours, which is typical for me because I'm usually using them whenever we take our veterans on a to a museum or something, and I'm taking a bunch of pictures and maybe some short videos. So I haven't seen a significant decrease in my battery life, but I also haven't used them in about a month or two.
yeah, I was going to say the Vista Center for the Blind Visual Care, that's mine out here in California. We took a trip to a art exhibit. It was a landscape exhibit, and we all had our glasses. And the curator of the exhibit was walking along with us, and we would ask our glasses, "What are we looking at?" And it would tell us, and then we'd ask the curator. We'd turn it up loud enough so she could hear it beside us, and
Right.
then she would say, "Well, I got this really good, but you kind of missed this little detail right here." And then the next time it's like, "I couldn't have done a better job describing it than your glasses just did describing it." And then the next painting over, it's like, "It totally got it wrong. Is there a person in that picture?" "No, there's nobody standing in that picture." "What do you mean there's nobody standing in that picture?"
My favorite hallucination was we went to the National Seashore Visitor Center. and I took a picture and had it describe it, and it told me there was this beautiful mural on the wall of sea life and all these things. So I sent it to a friend of mine, and he's like, "What am I looking at?" I'm like, "There's a mural in there." He's like, "No, there's the reception desk and there's people, but I don't see any mural." And I'm like, "You just made that up." Totally made that up.
There's some speculation in the Apple world that one of the things that's going to be announced this September is AirPods with cameras in them that are
I
going
have
to
heard
give
that
the same
too.
kind of functionality.
Yes, I have heard that.
So
As
we'll
a matter
see
of fact,
what
I just
happens.
saw a post about that today.
But that could be interesting because one of my problems with the Meta glasses was that they were so slow that they weren't really usable for me. In my workflow, it
Sure.
took too
Yeah,
long to
they
get
are.
in. Also, they're unreliable too. You can ask it the same question, and for my use, I know some people get a
Right.
lot of use out of them, but I would ask it the same question and get different answers. And it
Yes.
depended on, I guess, what mood the thing was in that day, whether or not it would answer my question.
I often wonder if it's pulling from different databases. So, and I, because I've noticed this with Be My Eyes as well, I can take a picture and it'll say one thing, and I'll retake the picture and it'll give me a completely different answer. And I'm like, okay, why?
Yeah, I tried to get it. I think the last use case, I haven't used mine in about a year, but I was trying to get it to read me a menu in a restaurant so my wife wouldn't have to, and it was a big pain. And I was like, you know what? I could do better with an app on my phone.
Yeah,
If
I've
it's
had
been
that
that
with
long,
restaurant menus too.
if it's
In the
been that
beginning,
long
I haven't
since you,
used it in a while either. Sorry, Bob.
I was gonna say, if it's been that long since you used it, you may want to try it again because of all the different updates that they've pushed out. And
Yeah.
so I find them pretty good sometimes, I should say. But yeah, I think they've gotten better over time.
I used mine today in a sushi restaurant, and they actually work pretty good.
You
Oh,
know, they
cool.
have
That's good to hear.
actually, if you haven't used them, they actually have built in an accessibility features for us in there, so you can get better descriptions and things like that. I actually don't use them for that, but it is, if you open the Meta app and you click on your glasses, that you should have an accessibility thing there that you could turn on some newer features for that. To get more details.
Yeah, they've also opened it up to third-party developers. So I've been hearing since January that Seeing AI was going to be able to work in conjunction with them. And near as I can tell, that hasn't happened yet. ScribeMe
I did try the Be
was
My Eyes
able to,
integration.
did you? Oh, Be My
It
Eyes,
was
yeah,
wild me.
Seeing AI was supposed to be able to work with them as well. And as far as I can tell, Seeing AI has not integrated with them. There's an app called ScribeMe, and I played with that a little bit the last time I used them, and that was interesting in that ScribeMe has a live AI feature. And so I was watching a movie at the Stennis Space Center, Science Center, and it was attempting to describe everything in the movie to me, and you know it. Without understanding the context, it was getting things wrong, but the basic descriptions were correct. But the information, you know, a person working in a bulky suit making a repair was, you know, an astronaut training underwater how to repair things during a spacewalk. But so it didn't understand the context, but it did get the basics right.
I got you halfway there.
Yeah. Partway. It was a fun thing to play with.
Hey, Leslie, you guys look at stuff like this sometimes. Is anybody on this call using the Echo Vision glasses?
I have not. I actually don't know anybody that's tried them yet.
Well, I guess I'll be trying them soon. I'm gonna buy a pair of them. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, we look forward to hearing.
Leslie, I don't. I see your posts in the group and I see your comments, but I don't know exactly what you do with the VA, but is the VA doing anything or have they looked into the possibilities of guidance and like, do you have any hands-on experience with it?
with the guidance. I have a coworker who was, I think she actually tested one out, and she's actually on the waiting list to get one. I have not tried it yet myself. It's basically up to us. So I teach in manual skills. So I teach at a blind rehab center here in Biloxi for the VA, and I teach woodworking and leather work and ceramics, copper tooling, that kind of thing. And mostly it's kind of up to us as individual instructors to try these things out. Occasionally we can go to our boss and say, hey, we think this is interesting. We think this is has a lot of potential. Can you buy us one and let us try it? And often they can get it on loan from a vendor and let us try it. I tried the Envision glasses that way. I tried the well, I actually bought my own pair of Meta glasses, but like I bought the Recon tape measure, and I was telling my boss about it, and he goes, you know, you could have asked me to get that and I would have bought it for us to try. I'm like, yeah, but I wanted one for myself, so it's all good.
That's one of those things that you see. There are so many, and unfortunately, I've found this to be the case time and time again. What were the glasses that were canceled? They had the little camera that stuck on the side of them,
The
and the
Orcam.
blind community hype. Yeah, that's it. The
Yeah.
blind
So.
community hyped that stuff up so much, and the demos look so good. And somebody just mentioned Sam with the Blind Life too. You watch Sam's videos, and on some of the stuff, it looks like it's incredible. And then you buy it, and it's for me anyway. I need the stuff to work. I can't mess around with the thing for 20 minutes getting a half useful answer. And
Right.
Glidance is one of those things that it looks cool in demos, but I really would like to see from people who are actually using it. Does the thing work like it's supposed to? Because I'm on a college campus and I'm in and out of, I mean, there's 50 something buildings I have vending in. And it'd be
Right.
great if something like that worked up or lived up to its promise.
I
But I don't
will
want to waste
talk to my
1500 bucks to find
coworker.
out.
Right. I will talk to my coworker and see if she actually tested it or if she just is trying to get, because I think she was trying to get a hold of one to try it and wasn't able to, but I will ask her if she actually tried it.
They're
Problem
supposed to be
for
opening
that.
up another round of sales, and the people who are on the waiting list are supposedly getting them and getting out in the world with them now. So it's maybe we'll
Yeah,
see more feedback
we'll
from
see.
people.
I think they've only got like 30 of them out there right now. September, they're supposed to put a bunch more out on the market. But the situation with them for now is they have no GPS capability built into them. So they can't take you somewhere. You still have to know your navigation skills and where you want to go. It will keep you from walking into obstacles and it'll steer you around obstacles, but
Right.
it can't say, take me from point A to point B yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
So
coming.
it's like my dog.
Yes.
Yeah,
But it is coming.
you got
I'm
your
cool
phone
with
for all
that
that stuff,
though.
though.
Yeah. Well, I keep telling
Obstacle
I tell
detection is what I'm
people who
looking
are
for as well.
interested in getting guide dogs that that if my dog has a GPS button, I haven't found it yet.
Yeah,
Well,
if
guys,
it
I
can
want to get
avoid an
off this.
obstacle or locate something, I think that's pretty cool technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they've come leaps and bounds with that product, so it's been fun to watch the development of it.
I don't know if I can make myself spend more than $40 on a cane, so we'll see. I'll let the other
Was
people
so
try it
noisy
first.
in the first demos of that thing like 2 years ago. It was so noisy, it sounded like a CNC machine in the middle of the room, and now I guess it's almost silent.
Gosh.
So.
Wow. I have tested other devices that were supposed to be obstacle detectors and had a hard time. I get, and I guess because I've been using my own skills for so long, I get very overwhelmed by feeling something tapping me and vibrating here and buzzing there. And it's, to me, it's more distracting than helpful. Like I tried the Sunu band when they came out.
Yeah,
I don't
me too.
remember what.
Unfortunately, I bought
Yeah, there's another thing that's looks like a almost like a pair of suspenders that goes over your shoulders and goes around your waist and has different sensors for detecting things in front of you and above you. And I have found all of that far too distracting.
Besides that, it only kind of works anyway. We're back to that kind of work stuff, you know. Well, guys,
What I'm
I'm
doing
just.
kind of works. It doesn't cost me anything, so I'll just keep doing that till something really works.
You guys can keep chatting if you like, but this is Daryl, and I got to go. And thanks, everybody, for being on the call.
Thank
Thanks,
you,
Daryl.
Daryl.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Daryl, I will get you the
Yeah, it's nice
recording as
chatting
soon
with
as I
you
can.
guys. Yeah, no hurry, Leslie, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see, I got several friends that work out there at the VA with you.
Yeah.
Robert Graham.
Yes.
He and I went to blind school up here in Jackson together several years ago. And then I've done a couple of conferences with Garrett Pendergrass.
Oh yeah. Yep, I know Garrett too.
Leslie, do you guys, I know you said you teach woodworking and stuff to people. Do you guys use track saws, or have you incorporated them?
We don't, and I suspect that it's just because we don't really have the room for it. What we have in our shop right now, and this is, I'm pretty sure, is what we've had for the last 15 years since the center opened. We have two saw stop table saws. One of them is we've set up to be a dedicated dado set. We've got a compound miter saw, sliding compound miter saw, a router table, drill press, bandsaw, planer. We have a pin lathe and a large lathe, but nobody really uses, we don't really have anybody that uses the large lathe anymore. And we've got grinders and belt sanders and some other stuff. And that's about, and we got a CNC machine last year.
If you're not opposed to it, and for people who like, I have a pretty big garage, but I don't want to fill it full of woodworking stuff because, you know, my family wants to be able to park in there, and I'm doing other projects and stuff in there. So for me, the track saw, specifically the Milwaukee track saw, is fantastic because the
Yeah.
track is only 9 inches wide, and it can stand up against the wall, and it's just a thin piece of aluminum. And the saw itself is the size of a circular saw. But I can
Nice.
take a sheet of plywood and rip it down to anything I need, and it's repeatable. I can get within a 1/16 of an inch on all of my cuts, and it's so much easier than a table saw and trying to get somebody else to help you with your holding your other piece and getting a double.
I hate cutting plywood on a table saw.
But it's such a handy tool for people who don't have a heck of a lot of room. And you, I mean, I've done stuff. I've cut little 6-inch wide pieces of the stuff 3 inches long. It's so versatile, and it can do so much. So if you guys are looking to give people, because the shop tools are great if you've got room for a shop. I've got a Milwaukee 12-inch compound miter saw on a DeWalt folding stand, and I can roll up. It stands up like a dolly up against the wall. But when I need
Nice.
it, I can roll it out in the room and pull a handle, and then it comes up to waist height, and it works just like a miter saw on a table.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the announcement from SawStop today?
I did not.
They're coming out with a new saw, 14-inch band saw. Same technology.
That's cool. I saw somebody else was advertising something like SawStop, but I don't remember who it was. They're saying they have their saw is just as safe, but just saw that a couple weeks ago.
I had, maybe 2 years ago, I had heard that somebody was trying to push legislation to for all table saw manufacturers to use saw stop technology.
I've heard
But
that
I
too.
haven't heard any more about that.
But SoftStop
Somebody in
won't
his head is
license
actually
their
used saw stops.
technology.
Right.
Does most of the community use one, or is it something people would like to
I will say that it has saved my fingers one time because I was thinking ahead in my project and not paying attention, and I lined up the wood against the edge of the blade because I was just trimming a little bit off the edge, and I just reached down and turned it on without moving my fingers. So, with that being said, it's I've heard others say that it will react to wood if it's too wet. I had an instance where the blade was just barely turning. I mean, it couldn't have possibly cut me if I put my finger in front of it. It was moving so slow. It was just at this final rotation before it stopped, and I touched the side of the blade and it still triggered the break. So that was frustrating. And I honestly try, I don't tell veterans that we have a saw stop unless they specifically ask about it. I'm not going to lie to them, but I do try to get them to think about terms of, always maintaining the same safety techniques regardless of what you're using. Don't count on it.
I've never used one. I just have a portable. It's a Milwaukee. Oh, it's on a stand and all that, and I can collapse down. But it sounds like good technology. But the complaint I've always heard from people is that there's only a couple models to choose from, so you really don't get the saw you want. You get the saw that's available. And I was just wondering, feedback from people who actually use them. Have you? Would you buy another one? Do you think it's worthwhile? And what you just said about your fingers, I mean, you can't replace your fingers, so. That kind of sells it right there.
Everything I've heard about them is they make a really good quality saw.
Maybe one of these days I'll go to a shop and I'll be able to get one.
You know what model Milwaukee Traxsaw you have?
I have the one that just came out like a year and a half. It's the M18. It's the one that just came
Those
out
are
like a year
cordless. Okay,
ago.
yeah.
Yeah. And I have
Gotcha.
the two
I've been
tracks
looking
for
for
it. I got
those.
the 10-foot track and the actually I've got three. I got the 36-inch, whatever it's 54-inch, I think it is, or 58-inch, and I've got the 10-foot.
And you do plunge cuts with that saw, do you know?
Yes. Yep.
Very cool.
It's very, very, very adjustable. You could do bevel and plunge. It's got actual fixed stops you can put on there too. So you can, it also has a feature where it'll do just a little tiny, I think it does like an eighth of an inch little initial cut just to keep your splinters to a minimum. It's a really cool saw.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a
I'm
beast
gonna look
too.
into that.
I've ripped, I've ripped, I want to say the thickest I've ever cut on it is 3/4, but I had no problem at all with that, just running right down the sheet.
Good to know.
It's on the wish list.
Yeah,
But
right.
I do not like cutting plywood on a table saw.
No.
I bought these little stands on Amazon, and they're actually kind of cool. It looks like an A, like it's got a little leg that folds out, kind of like a step ladder kind of style. But on top of it, it has a 12-inch long cylinder that's about the size of a paper towel roll, and there's a handle that adjusts how high up that cylinder is.
So if I'm using the track saw to cut something, instead of having an extra person around to hold the piece I'm cutting off, I just put two of those under it. They were very cheap too, like $20 a piece. And I just put them underneath it, and then it gives me support for the offcut.
Nice.
But that's something for even you guys using table saws and stuff. If you're running a whole sheet of plywood on there, the roller, you just set it up next to the saw to hold whatever's hanging over. And as you work the piece through the saw, the roller is rolling along and giving you support.
Now, right now I'm just rough cutting with a skill saw. I'm gonna use a smaller piece on the table saw.
I've done that. I just clamp a, I bought an 8 foot straight edge on Amazon, and I just clamp it to the sheet and then just run the guide of the saw right along it. And it gives you the same, I mean, maybe not quite as accurate, but it's good enough for the projects I'm doing.
I have one like that, and I found out that when I was clamping it down, it was bowing.
Yeah, I had that issue too.
You make a nice long straight cut across an 8 foot sheet of plywood, you pick it up, and you wonder why your measurements aren't tying out, and it's because there's a bow in there you cut into it.
I got these for the track saws. I had the oh come on, help me think of the word. What's the trying to think of the other company that makes them. Makita. I had the Makita track saw, and then I bought the Milwaukee, both cordless. And on the bottom of the tracks is a little slot cut into it, so you can use a little T-bolts like you see on router tables or whatever. But they make these clamps that slide into it, and it looks like a C clamp with a like a little pistol grip on it, kind of like a bar clamp has. And you just slide this into that track, and then it goes under your workpiece. And it holds the track down on your piece, but it doesn't do it quite like a C clamp does, where it bows your track. And it's very effective. You can use a track saw without any type of clamps, but I don't want to rip a whole sheet and find out the thing moved an eighth of an inch, because that's just going to make me mad. So I always clamp.
All right, guys. Well, I think I'm fixing to head out. Enjoy chatting with you. This is Robert.
Well, it was nice chatting
Thanks,
with you
Robert.
guys too. I'll see you in the group for sure. And if, for those of you who care, I'll put the beta up tomorrow for the Smart Caliper app, and that'll give me a little bit more time to get the approval done with
Looking forward to
Apple anyway. Cool.
Have a good night.
Y'all have a good
Y'all, good
week.
night.
Take care, everybody.
Record.